Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Before you're too comfortable, let's pass the peace. Get up and speak to your neighbors next to you or those across the aisle. If you can't get up and move, you let them come to you. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation that is found on the top of your bulletin inside. The first thing I would like to do today is to say thank you to all of those folks who supported the Missions Bazaar. We had a good turnout, and I think most of the tables, the vendors, were successful, and I think the Missions Committee feels like it was a real success. So thank you very much for coming, for participating, bringing the things you brought, and purchasing the things you purchased. If you will look at your calendar on the back, you may want to put a dot by the register that you're assigning. Take the pencil and put a dot by a few things on the calendar that I want to call to your attention. First of all, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, there's going to be a forum on the crisis, the homeless shelter that Main Street is going to be opening for women and children. If you are interested in learning more or you wish to participate, please come this afternoon at 4 in the Trinity classroom. You will also notice on the bottom of your, this is not in chronological order, but you will notice on the bottom of the bulletin that the United Methodist Men will have a dinner and program. Please note the time change. They have done so in order for everybody to be able to attend the charge conference, which is also that night. And you will notice on the back of the bulletin the mention of the charge conference. It is not a closed event. We United Methodists are very democratic, and we do open our doors. So those of you who are interested in seeing how the church works, please feel free to come to the charge conference. The hanging of the greens and the preparation Sunday is also listed in your bulletin. There is a note you need to make. Child care will be available for children through the fifth grade. And finally, I want to call to your attention the Thanksgiving service. This is a beautiful service, and it is a community-wide service, and we do hope you will come and support Main Street because this is where it's going to be. The music will be wonderful, the speaker will be good, and all of the profits will go to the Meals on Wheels. So do support your community and your church. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ. Thank you.
please stand for the call to worship. God is ready to answer us, even before we call. God is eager to listen, though we are not ready to speak. Together before God's presence, all of nature proclaims God's glory. If the seas join in praise, how much more should we? If the hills are alive with song, let us too awake to sing. Joyful noise to God, all people of the earth, break forth into joyous song. Be glad, rejoice in all that God is creating. Welcome the new heaven and earth God has planned. God, with great joy and delight, we welcome God's healing touch in our midst.
Be seated, please.
Turn in your hymnal to page 38, and I invite John Fanny.
This morning we celebrate one of the realities of being a church when we have families to come and to choose to be a part of the family of God here at Main Street. And so at this time we welcome Lee and Alice and Caroline and Robert, and Ruth Ann's going to be baptized in a few Sundays. And so we look for, Margaret's going to be baptized in a few Sundays, and so we look forward to their coming and being a bigger part of our church and of the life here. If you would, I ask you, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, you say, I will. To the congregation, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your services? We say, we will. Members of the household of God, I commend these to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Welcome to Main Street. Make them welcome, would you? Let us read together the invocation as printed in your bulletin. God of hosts, our strength and our salvation, there are no words large enough to praise you. No response by us can match the love you have shown us. Gather us now in your warm embrace, that our faith may be renewed and our work empowered to the honor and glory of your holy name. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Old Testament reading for today is Isaiah 65:17-25. You may find this passage on page 851 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, the prophet provides a pictorial description of the new heavens and the new earth in the coming restoration. The new heavens and earth are eternal, and in them safety, peace, and plenty will be available to all. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall this sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's epistle reading is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. This passage can be found on page 252 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul is warning the believers against idleness. Some people in the church were falsely teaching that because Christ would return any day, no one need work or plan for the future. But Paul says that their lack of inactivity only led them into sin. Now, we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we did not have the right, but in order to set an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You see our prayer concerns that are listed in your bulletin. Everett Fitz and Mike Williams have both gone home, and we continue to pray for Pauline Wilson. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Dear God, we come to you this day in the sanctuary of your people to unite our hearts and our minds, our spirits together in praise and adoration to you, and also to pray for those among us and those our friends and loved ones, for anyone anywhere who needs to experience an encounter with Jesus Christ. We pray, Almighty God, that you indeed would touch them, that you would touch ministers and missionaries wherever they are serving, those in the hospitals and nursing homes, for those within our country, those at home and abroad who protect us, and ministers and missionaries who proclaim your holy word. Be with those in leadership over your church and over your nation, guiding us and leading us in the way and the paths that you would have for us to go. Until that day when lion and lamb shall lie down together and spears and swords be beaten into pruning hooks, and where we'll study peace and not war. Let your grace, let your love, let your guiding hand touch and help us in this day and age in which we live. And we pray as you taught us to pray: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Thank you. Almighty God, we return to you a portion of that which we have been so graciously blessed. Take these gifts and use them for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Bless, giver, and give in those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. Let all that we do be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Father, our Maker, and our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
I say, good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Hey, it is so good to be down here with you and share some time with you. This past week, we had a special day. Does anyone remember what special day we had last week? Ooh, how many of you agree with her that last week we had Veterans Day? Well, there are some in this church, and I'm one of them, that is a veteran. Would all our veterans please stand? And this morning, Larry has picked our for our hymn is a Navy hymn, but it talks about being on land and water and sea and all that. What does it mean if you're a veteran? Served in the Army? And I don't anymore. This is true. And you serve in the Navy or the Air Force or the Coast Guard? Are the Marines or what? Well, police, yeah, that's probably true as well. But here I have a uniform. And a uniform tells a little bit of a story, okay? It tells you what your rank was, and this time I was a major. It gives you your name, tells you under what command. I was under the Air Mobility Command, and it tells you what a squadron, a wing you with. I was with the 916th. And it tells you a little something else. What do you see on my uniform that might be a little different than some others? Yeah, what is that? What is that?
It's a cross.
That's a cross.
For God.
Yeah, for God. So that meant that I was a chaplain. So I served. And so the uniforms that we wear, and so I thought I would bring my uniform and let you just see it this morning. It was, and you can even pass around my hat and put it on if you want to and see how you look. There you go. But because there are people that serve, I think I just lost control. Because of some of these that serve and have given of themselves, sometimes you have to be brave, and sometimes you're scared. But we have a statement that we say, the home of the... Does anybody know what that is? Home of the free? Yeah. And land of the brave? Yeah. So we have something this morning that not everyone in the world has, and it's freedom. When you came to church this morning, were you afraid? You weren't afraid. Mm-mm. When you went to sleep last night, were you afraid that somebody was going to come break in your house? And still, okay, that's enough. I got it. Good deal. So anyway, because these brave people have served our country, and they have given of themselves, and some died. My grandson tells me he wants to be a soldier, but he don't want to be with one that shoots real bullets. But it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes we have to go in places where we're afraid. But there is something more important than being an American. It's being a Christian. Because we say we have freedom as American, but the most important thing is we have freedom in our heart. And who has given us this freedom in our heart? Yeah, God through Jesus Christ, right? So we are free from our sins, we are free from our fears, and God has caused us to know that we are a child of God, right? So let us pray together. Dear God, thank you for those who serve, who give of themselves when they're called upon, and those who hear the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ to share your love with the world. Amen. You're dismissed. The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 5th verse of the 21st chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. When some were speaking about the temple and how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when what not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' And the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you, and they will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify, so make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you your words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. As I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about how beautiful the temple that Jesus is referring to here must have been, I understand that a part of it was overlaid with gold and the sun shone upon the white stone and you could see it from the desert. It was one of those beautiful sights. As a young boy, I remember my dad telling me that when the temple was built, that there was not the sound of a hammer, that all the rocks were cut out of a quarry and they were brought in and they just laid in place like a puzzle. When I was in Israel, I remember looking at some of the buildings and a portion of the temple and thinking about how beautiful it must have been. And so for whatever reason, as Jesus is leaving the temple area, he is stirred to bring this statement that we've read this morning to you. And he speaks about the destruction of that beautiful edifice. I can remember those times in some of my travels when I was privileged to stand there at the base of the Statue of Liberty. And as I looked up at that grand old lady and felt a sense of pride in my heart for being an American. And later on, riding the Staten Island Ferry and seeing it against the skyline of New York, and I thought how sad it would be if one morning we were awakened to find that someone had destroyed this wonderful American icon. I remember riding around Manhattan with my son, and we looked off in the distance, and as we saw the Twin Towers of New York, and we know that today they no longer stand there, been destroyed by those individuals that if they could, they would inflict greater harm upon us. Just a few weeks ago, our security forces intercepted bombs that were destined for New York and a synagogue in various places, and it's still being unfolded what all the damage that was intended to be inflicted upon us. And so we know that there are those out there that desire to do us harm. And it's hard to imagine that we will be successful to intercept every one of these hostile events directed at you and me. And so as we live in the midst of uncertainty. As we continue to live our lives, as I mentioned to the children this morning, as free Americans, as we still enjoy the travels on our public transports or in our automobiles, I'm sure that most of the time we have in the back of our mind is someone going to blow up a bridge that I happen to be crossing? Is someone going to do damage to an aircraft that I happen to be riding on or one of my loved ones is on? And so it's in the midst of, I guess, that same type of uncertainty that Jesus is talking to his disciples, in the sense that all they wanted Jesus to do, if you remember, was to come in and to defeat the entire Roman Empire. And so there are those there, even at that time, that were not at peace with all that was taking place in the temple area. And Jesus says, all this is coming down. And so we know by history that 40 or so years later that Titus came in and these words were fulfilled exactly. Not one stone left on another. I remember hearing a young person preaching on this passage of Scripture, and he said that what happened was the gold melted and ran down between the rocks, and so are the stones that were used, and each one of them were turned over as the soldiers began to plunder and to get out the gold so that they would have money for their services. Every stone, not one upon the other. As we live in our country and worship in our churches, as I reflect upon the reality of what's taking place in our world today, as I share with you and you share with me what's happening in some of our businesses, as we deal with the economic stresses that we find ourselves in today. Many times I think about when the history of our church. During the week, as I come and have the opportunity from time to time to come in here to the sanctuary, and I look at this beautiful building, and I think of all of those experiences that people have lived through the years. World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, now today, Desert Storm. As I think about people's faith, the great revivals that have come across our land, the Finney revivals. Many of us experienced and participated in the Billy Graham revivals. We've seen faith as it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. If you read this passage of Scripture here, we can say that earthquakes have taken place in every generation. Pestilences, the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, polio, in our day, cancer. Tsunamis. The reality that we live in a world of these types of experiences. We live in a world where everyone does not want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. since I have been your pastor. We know of missionaries that have been killed either by someone's hand or by the act of nature. They have died on the mission field, proclaiming the good news of Christ. I don't know, since Jesus spoke these words, if there's ever been a generation that lived without trauma. I remember my dad saying to my neighbor one day when the world was in the midst of some terrible conflict, and he said something that has stayed in my soul for years. I would hate to think that I raised my son to die in some war, because they had said in World War II it was a war to end all wars. And yet we still have wars. We still have calamities. And we're still going to have earthquakes. And we're still going to have economic adjustments and downturns. Hopefully not depressions. But Jesus makes a statement here that echoes through my soul when he says, basically, it's an opportunity for you to testify. It's an opportunity for you to tell of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for you to proclaim what stabilizes your hope. It's an opportunity for you to proclaim where your peace comes from. I'll never forget, and I may have shared with you, but it comes to mind now, Hannah Lore Wilson. Hannah Lore is a member of Wesley United Methodist Church in Hartsville. She was a Hitler youth. She was in Berlin, and the Allies were coming. David was an ally. He was on his way to Berlin. He was an American soldier. They wrote one of those Advent devotionals for the church to share, and they both talked about their faith, how their faith sustained them on the same Christmas when she was in Belgium, Berlin, and he was on his way to Berlin. Different sides, but the same faith. This morning, it's not which political party we align ourselves with. It's not which denomination that we choose to unite our hearts with. The issue is our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. I share with you this morning what Seaman Kim Malvi Brun wrote in 1945. He wrote to his mother something like this: "Mom, tomorrow I'm going to be executed." He had worked against the Nazis, and he was condemned to die. He said, "When you look out and you see a bird in flight, a sunset, a sunrise, trees growing, when you see the beauty of a new plant," he said, "therein embrace my life, because I still live in those things that you see they're important. And he says, and share this hope with my only child, my daughter, because I too will live in her. Your only son, Seaman Kim. Goodbye, Mom. And so in life, we do not live, as I have shared before, in a bubble. We experience earthquakes. We experience tornadoes. We experience the things of this world. And God gives us, in the midst of these, the opportunity to share our faith. Jesus even tells his disciples, don't even be thinking about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words to say. So this morning, in closing, the question that we all would ask, I think, is my heart at peace with God? Do I have this faith birthed inside of me? If not, O God, touch my heart, cleanse me, and enable me to be one of your committed disciples. In Christ's name, amen. Our closing hymn this morning, Marching to Zion. Receive now the benediction. Go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.